catch up with us, Orange Bloods. Catch going into the Manning visit to Texas, the official visit. The thinking was Georgia is in the lead here. You even told me you were becoming skeptical about Texas, having been confident prior about Texas. What happened on that trip?
I think that Texas just reestablished all of the things that made Texas confident in the beginning. And, you know, it's funny. There, I don't know that anything ever happened that made Texas internally losing confidence. But there was so much chatter about Georgia. And, you know, I know that people were super confident. Out of that visit, they thought they had Georgia. It's funny. I joked. I don't know if you guys remember the old movie Harlem Nights. I don't know if it's a perfect reference to make on the air, but there was a character in that movie who was a lady of the night by the name of Sunshine, and she had a certain effect on people. And I felt like maybe that was just what Arch and his family did, because when they left, Texas felt really good. And suddenly the chatter started to sound a little bit like the Georgia chatter, and I was thinking to myself, well, wow, both of these schools feel the exact same way with Arch and his family leaving campus. Maybe they just have a way of making people feel confident about their positioning. But in the end, I think it was Texas the entire way. And I think that in retrospect, I think that they showed up. You know, the question was always, can you, and we talked about this, the problem that Texas had was that they needed the Manning to feel confident about the program, and that last season's 5-7 record wasn't risky, that they would commit to Texas, and then Texas goes 6-6 this year, or, you know, 7-5 next year. Sark is a little bit on the hot seat, or a lot on the hot seat. I don't think that's what they wanted to sign up for. The thing that Sark and the Texas staff were able to do that was really key was to convince them that the risk was minimal. And I think what we really saw was that Arch and his family grew tired of the process. So a decision was going to come one way or the other early. And I thought that was bad for Texas because, you know, our source behind the scenes had told us that Arch and his family were cognizant of a risk element with Texas. But, you know, all things being equal, they'd rather they'd won 9 games last year instead of 5. And in the end, I think they were tired of the process, and I think they wanted to be able to be impactful with recruiting. And we've seen that happen now since Arch committed to Texas, that in the week that's followed, Texas has soared up the recruiting ranking and picked up a lot of commitments, and there's been a lot of momentum. I think they knew that if they waited until the fall, that impact might be minimized. So here we are. They committed. They committed for reasons. And then the reasons have been somewhat justified in the sense that there's no question that Texas has gone on a little bit of a heater in recruiting. Not a little bit, a lot of a heater since the commitment went down last Thursday. And so this thing has been orchestrated pretty well by Steve Sarkisian. And, you know, it's probably the best thing that he's done since he's been the coach of Texas is to get this right and then to be able to have the rollout of commitments afterwards really allow Texas to kind of reestablish itself under Sark. He's got a ton of momentum now. Now he just has to go out and coach and win some games and be good on the field. But everything else seems to be falling into place.
Jeff Ketchum, Orange Bloods with us, yes. Since Thursday's Arch announcement, they've picked up a bunch of players, but 2 5-stars, Derek Williams, safety out of Louisiana, again, 5-star, and then Jonte Cook yesterday out of DeSoto, a wide receiver, DeSoto, Texas. Yeah, I mean, there's a momentum. There's a thing in recruiting with momentum, and they've got it right now. I mean, you got to stay hot, right?
Yeah, and look, they now have a story to tell that they didn't before. Now, I was joking with some guy on the staff yesterday, but they're number one in the rivals rankings now.
Hey, Patton, would you grab that and clean that up? grab his connection and clean that up. See if we can. Jeff Ketchum is with us, and Pat, let me know when you got him back. It was going okay in the beginning, and now we're starting to get muffled with Ketch over in Texas. Rusty Manziel coming up here in a couple of minutes as well from 24/7 Sports, and we'll head over to the Red Clay Peach State of Georgia here in about 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes with Rusty. Patton, do you have him back yet? Okay. Jeff, catch him. Catch last 10 seconds or so, started getting real muffly. Anyways, got you back, sir. Carry on.
No, I was just saying they have a story to tell now that they didn't really a week ago, which is number one ranked class in the rivals rankings, number two pretty much consensus everywhere else. And now that's the kind of thing that helps in recruiting. You can tell a guy who's close to committing but maybe not that, you know, be a part of the momentum, help us get the number one recruiting class. There's a story that Texas is now selling in this recruiting class that I think is effective. And I think that what we've seen, I think even really recently, the Jontae Cook commitment I think was going to happen no matter what.
Right.
Derek Williams' commitment's a stunner for me. That is not – a week ago, nobody at Texas felt like that they had, you know, one of the top three kids in Louisiana just prepped and ready to go to say yes. That – and I think the Derek Williams commitment out of Louisiana was, of all of the commitments that have occurred, that's the one that most feels like it had an arch impact. Because I think Jontae Cook was going to commit no matter what. I had anticipated that Cook would commit before the arch visit, because there was a lot of thought that I had been hearing since May that Texas was expecting to go on a little bit of a run before that arch visit in the hopes of creating enough momentum to let, you know, because Arch didn't want to be a savior. And he didn't, I had heard that the family and the kid didn't want to feel like everything was up to Arch, and that if it didn't happen with Arch, then it wasn't going to happen at all. And I think a lot of the commitments they picked up in the last week since Arch committed, they were going to get anyway. They picked up four offensive linemen. I think they were going to get the majority of those guys, if not all of those guys. I think that it's all happened so quick, though. That's been the impact of the Manning commitment, is that they've been able to sell this story, get on board now. We've got something special going, and your commitment's part of it. And, you know, I don't know that they're done. They, you know, their coaches, Jeff Banks last night, made a tweet last night that indicated they have four more commitments ready to go. I have commitment analysis pieces written for five guys. Cedric Baxter, the running back out of Orlando, Florida, is a guy that Texas is convinced they're going to get. As a matter of fact, Baxter's name was one of the first names that popped up last week immediately after Arch committed, that this was part of the Arch effect and that, you know, Baxter was a big part of it. So that's a guy they're waiting on. He's supposed to make his announcement on August 10th. So that might not happen in the next couple of days, but I think Texas fully anticipates that Baxter will be committed. And then you look on the defensive side of the ball, there's a couple of huge prospects, including Anthony Hill from Denton Ryan, who's a five-star kid. And, you know, you could make a case. I wrote a column that Anthony Hill's, from a positional standpoint, is more important than Arch Manning, because they do have Quinn Ewers already on tap, and they do have Malik Murphy already in the program. They've got really good young quarterbacks. Arch doesn't change that. Arch just extends the window for which they will continue to have good young quarterback talent. They've got to get some defensive difference makers, not too dissimilar from what Texas A&M's been able to do. Like, from afar, before Texas enters the SEC, Texas fans can see that Texas A&M has been recruiting at a level up front that Texas hasn't. And that's the thing that's missing if they want to be highly competitive in the SEC. They learned that last year against Arkansas. Arkansas just beat the taste out of Texas's mouth, and they did it physically. They did it with defensive linemen and linebackers and offensive linemen, and Texas has got a great 7-on-7 team. And so what Texas has needed to do was go beyond quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers And I think the Arch commitment helps with that. And I think that the key thing is if they do have four commitments lined up and ready to go, one of those is probably Baxter. The other three, though, are probably linebackers, defensive ends, defensive linemen. And that's what really Texas is going to need to stack up now moving forward to prepare themselves for the eventual SEC move where they're more than just a really good 7-on-7 team.
Tom in Myrtle Beach asks, what if Quinn Ewers has a great season? Would Texas be willing to sit Arch his first year? Now, you've already said Arch does not want to come in as this brand name hero savior guy, right?
There's a great prop bet out there right now where it's like minus 2,000 that Arch redshirts. I would jump on that big time because a redshirt season means you get to play four times and still be able to maintain that year of eligibility. The anticipation at Texas, and this has been this way for months, for most of the recruiting process since Ewers committed and signed with Texas, because when it first happened, there was a lot of thought that, oh, God, this could impact the Arch Manning recruitment. What does it mean to get Quinn Ewers as a transfer? The plan right now is Quinn Ewers plays this year and next year, plays through 2023, and then his goal has always been to head off to the NFL at 2023. It's one of the reasons why he graduated early and spent last season at Ohio State. He wanted to get the clock ticking on his eligibility meter. The thought process is he plays the next 2 years, and then when Art shows up, he redshirts, and then Ewers leaves, and as a redshirt freshman, then Manning can take over, assuming he beats out Malik Murphy. It's not perceived that Ewers' presence at all is a negative with the pursuit of Arch Manning. In fact, I heard coming out of the visit that one of the key guys that hosted Manning was that Ewers was heavily involved in that recruitment. They've got a really good relationship to the extent that they're communicating and texting and talking beyond just the visit. So it looks like, again, if I had like a loose $1,000, I'd go take one of these Arch Manning prop bets, he at minus 2,000 to redshirt. Vegas seems to think Manning is absolutely going to play. And everything that we've heard is that he may play, but everything that we've heard is they're absolutely fine and they may actually prefer to use that first season as a redshirt. And then in 2024, the job is an open battle.
Jeff Ketchum with us, Orange Bloods and momentum in recruiting. What is a reasonable record for Texas this year?
8-4, 9-3 feels like things went really well. This is still a team with a lot of question marks for me. You know me, Bill. I don't think I've ever come on your show and gone too crazy from a prediction record. I think the correct over and under for Texas is 8.5. So it's about what side of that 8.5 do you fall on. I would conservatively say 8. They've got a little bit of a difficult schedule. Look, they're going to lose Alabama. Nobody at Texas right now is bowing up and thinking that they're going to win that game second week of the season. Then you've got Oklahoma on a neutral field. You got to play, you know, they're playing Oklahoma State. They still have Baylor. Like, the Big 12 is formidable this year. It's not going to be like, you know, a layup league. If they can get to 9-3, I think they've, you know, Sark's never won 9 games in the regular season as a head coach. In fact, I didn't know this. They used to call him like 7-win Steve down in Washington. So the last thing, really, like, recruiting's going well. And think about Sarkisian is everybody seems to like him around college football. You know, Tom Herman was a guy that people could be 50-50 on. Like, sometimes he could rub people the wrong way. Sark's not like that. Scouts love him. The administration loves him. The players love him. They want him to work. Now he has to prove that he can be a big-time head coach. He has not done that in his career. It probably would have happened at USC had things not gone off the rails. And now you're waiting to see it at Texas, but they're spending a lot of money on this staff, and they were horrible a year ago. You don't go 5-7 and have one of the worst seasons in the history of the Texas program and suggest that it was a success by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it was such a disaster that they got the quarterback situation entirely messed up. Like, the only thing they had to do last year was come out of the season with the guy that they were going to be winning with for the next couple of years at the quarterback position in place. And instead, Casey Thompson leaves. Hudson Card feels like a guy they can't invest in. And in comes Quinn Ewers. But back in December, it looked like a holy you-know-what time for Texas. And it all has kind of gone the right way. Ewers comes in, and now Arch Manning commits. The big question that nobody really wants to talk about. Sark's got to prove now that he can be a head coach. That's the last piece of the puzzle.
Catch, appreciate the time, bud. Thank you, bud.
Yep, sorry about that whole phone thing. You guys have a great rest of the week.
Jeff, catch him there. Mark it down 500. Going to be a ugly day. Rusty Manziel when we come back. We'll head to Georgia. Omni Nashville Hotel.